8 through 13 responsively.
Stand to our feet as we read Genesis 8, 13, 3, 8 through 13 responsibly. Genesis 3, 8 through 13. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou not eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, You beguiled me, and I did eat. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, so much that you've done, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll just bless the preaching tonight, Lord, and just be with the pastor as he preaches, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, again, all that you've done. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. You may be seated. I tell you, when it came to this particular message tonight, you know, I preached on commitment last Sunday night, and I didn't finish and thought I was going to go there. And I said, well, I said, I think everything I could almost say last Sunday night due to that. And then I was working on a couple others, and I was right down to two. And it was just probably a half an hour before choir that I just decided, well, this is the way I'm going. I feel this isn't working. I've said it before. If this isn't working, just give me a moment. I'm going to go back and get the other one. Amen. And or we'll just preach them both or whatever and just try to get the job done. I'm kidding. But it's okay to laugh. Loosen up a little bit. You want to laugh now, okay? As we go, it may not be so funny. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to be very simple this evening. I know this is a very familiar and very, very simple passage. We know it. We know this passage, we know the story, probably in and out and so forth. And again, this wasn't the one I chose originally, but I do feel it was for such a time as this. And our text is found in the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? So many things distract us from where we ought to be. Every time I read this passage, some of the similar thought processes, I go right to the same similar thought processes often, and I can't help but think of how God felt when he came to the garden that day and he couldn't find Adam. The Bible says here that in the cool of the day, they met with each other. There was a sweet fellowship between Adam and Eve and God that very few men knew, by the way. I mean, they got to meet with God on a personal basis there in the garden in the cool of the day. I believe it was in the morning. They had that time of sweet fellowship, that time of sweet, just a time together. And I can't help but think, I think of God here just for a minute. How he must have felt when he showed up, he was in his place, but his creation, whom he calls, was good. You know, you go back to the creation days there, and he said it was all good. And Adam, when he created Adam and Eve, he said it was good. And then here he is, he shows up, and he's maybe there at the same spot, same place that they meet every morning there in the garden. But no Adam, no Eve. And the title of my message tonight is, Where Art Thou? He comes to the garden and looks around and says, Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Eve! You know, all was well in the garden until the serpent came slithering along. Until the serpent came in. And, of course, here's where you can start to seeing him changing the words of the Bible, by the way. I won't take time there tonight, but he started interpreting his version of the Bible, if you will. But he comes in and he slithers into Eve, if you will, to Eve, and says, talks to him a little while and snuggles up close, so to speak, if you will. And and tells her, you know, I notice that you take care and you're near and you take care of every part of this garden, but you don't take care of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he kind of starts enticing her. And of course, she says, well, we're not to go ahead and touch it. God says, God, by the way, gave him one rule. Everything was theirs. 99.99999% of that garden was theirs, but just one thing. And the serpent goes ahead, the devil goes ahead and says, you know, it'll make you wise. It's not going to hurt you. God knows that it'll make you wise. God knows that the day that you eat thereof, you're going to be like him. And I could just see him going through his antics and his slyness, if you will, to try to get him closer and closer to the very thing that they're supposed to stay away from. Take a look at it, Eve. Isn't that pretty? That's a pretty tree, and it's a beautiful tree. And boy, once you take that fruit of that tree, you're going to become wise. You're going to be like God, using his terminology, his sly terminology. And you know what? Up until this time, you know, they had that sweet fellowship with God, and things were well, and they were doing their job, and they were caring for that garden. But Eve, of course, succumbed to the devil. Eve takes of that fruit, offers it to Adam. Something was different. You know, the Bible says that they went and hid themselves. They went ahead and they had to put fig leaves on as a picture of the covering, you know, covering their nakedness, if you will. And they were hiding on God. If there could have ever been any tears from the face of God, this could have been it, I think. I think that he was very disappointed. Where art thou? Sin, a word that word not ever known before this time, entered into the picture. Sin separated God's relationship as man knew it at that time. Life as Adam and Eve knew it ended. Why? Because the devil made things look so attractive and caused them to break God's law. The devil made sin look pretty, that Eve could not resist. And of course, the result was in verses 14. I'll read a few verses. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There is a consequence for sin. Adam and Eve never knew this. They never knew what sweat was. They never knew what pain and labor was. But sin brings consequences. Tonight, I just want to ask you a question. Where are you in relation to God? Where are you in relation to God? Are you dabbling in some sort of sin that's taking you far away from where God wants you to be? Is God asking you perhaps the same question, where art thou? Is there some sin that you're hiding on God? Let me tell you something. You can run, but you can't hide on God. God knows right where you are. You may think, well, you know what? Nobody knows about this secret, hidden sin. My spouse doesn't know. My children do not know. My boss doesn't know. My friends don't know. But let me tell you something. God surely knows right where you are tonight. I want to ask you tonight, where are you? Where art thou? There are three types of people I'm going to talk about briefly this evening. And if it all goes well, we will be brief. Number one, a person whom God did know. This was the one like Adam and Eve before the temptation, if you will. This was the one that had a sweet fellowship with God. Not in the same way they did, but you were in your prayer closet. You were where you ought to be. You would walk with God every day. This is the one whom you met with God every day. You would meet him daily. You would walk with him. You'd talk with him. But something happened. Got too busy. Something happened. Temporal pleasures of life took over the eternal joy of walking with God and serving Him. You allow the things of the world, and I'm not against some of the things that they offer. I'm not against having some nice things and four-wheelers and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, that stuff will go ahead and pull you away from what God wants you to be. You know, and I, again, let me just say this. I'm not against four-wheelers. I love them. I'm not against snowmobiles. I still own one. I owned a couple of them and so forth. But bless God, don't ever let it get in the way of your walk with God. Don't ever let it get in the way of your service to God. Don't ever let it get away in the way of your Sundays and of your Wednesdays. But something happened. You had a sweet relationship with God. You had sweet fellowship with God. But something happened. Some temporal pleasures got in the way. And I took over the eternal joy of walking with Him. This is the person with whom you can take me back to the time you got saved. You realized you were a sinner. You realized there's a price on sin. And you cried out to God, "Oh God, save me. Come into my heart and save me." You know, 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." Tonight, you have a no-soul Christianity, but you wandered far away from Him tonight. Maybe something happened. The old devil, the serpent, if you will, slithered his way into your life and caused you to look at the tree of the thing or that something that you ought not, which is not for you. He made his sin look attractive till you could not resist. He kept on poking and prodding. He knows your weak spot. You kind of kept that door open. Maybe you negotiated with God. "God, I'll give you this, I'll give you this." But there's something in your life. You know God's been hounding you. The Holy Spirit's been saying, "Hey, give it to me, give it to me. I want to go ahead and make you and do some great things with you." But you're being limited because of something. But then the devil has it. The devil knows. He's poking and prodding that one area. Before you know it, you take the fruit, so to speak. Before you know it, you're near the tree. You start realizing, boy, it is pretty. You know, the world, some of the things of the world do look pretty. Some of the temptations of the world do look pretty. But let me tell you something, if you're not careful, it's going to bite you. And before you know it, you'll be spit out and chewed up and destroyed. You know what? Maybe you're there tonight. You got attracted to sin. You couldn't resist it. Now he is pleased because sin came in. The devil, if you will, is pleased because sin came in and destroyed the sweet fellowship you once knew. You know, the devil knows if you're saved tonight, he can't take you to hell with him. Let me tell you something. He's going to do everything he can to take this race here and ruin it for the cause of Christ. He'll do everything he can. He'll throw anything he can. He knows if you're saved and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he can't go ahead and do anything about that, but somewhere he'll do everything he can to make your journey miserable. Because of sin, the joy that once glowed from your face goes ahead and tells the world that there's something wrong. You know, I said it, I kind of alluded to it this morning. You can tell when the world takes a fine person, even a fine Christian person, when the devil goes ahead and just picks and picks at them. It's all over their face. You can tell when a young person is getting out of whack because, that joy that of serving, that joy of obeying, that joy of doing right just isn't there. You know what? And it starts showing on their accounts. They try to, young people or even Christians, they're saved, but, they try to put on the, "I look good Sunday morning." You got that face. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? It starts coming out. You know what? That sin has taken the joy from you. You're the one the devil knows that he can't take to hell, but he's doing everything he can to make your life miserable tonight. The devil perhaps has robbed you of some blessings. Think of what the blessings that was robbed from Adam and Eve. One sin, one rule, so to speak. One. God says everything, just leave that tree alone. One. The devil's, maybe you're here tonight, you're the person whom God did know at one time. I'm talking about that relationship as far as your sweet daily relationship, if you will. But the devil's robbed you of blessings. You're dabbling in sin. You're playing around with sin. You're one click away on that computer screen of going to places you ought not go. Maybe you've been there. And it's affecting you. It's not just affecting you, but it'll affect your marriage if you're married. If you're not married, young person, it'll affect your relationships. And you say, well, I got it under control. No, you don't. And the truth of the matter is you're one click away, or maybe you've already clicked your way into that internet world and so forth. And I'm not against necessarily the internet. Use that as a tool for the cause of Christ. Don't use it as a toy. If you can't handle it, it might be just good to chuck it out of the way so you don't fall into sin. Or maybe there's some tonight, you're one click away, you're a text away from saying something that you shouldn't say on that phone. Or maybe you've already texted. You've already said some things. Today, how sad, I would use this term, be very careful, but we got the sexting thing, as far as I'll go. You know, you better be very careful. If you're not careful, let me just address you young people for a minute. You better be very careful that privilege that your mom and dad has given you, that cell phone. You better be very careful. By the way, if mom and dad is paying for it, if mom and dad has gone ahead and given you the right to have one and so forth while you're living under their roof, why don't you go ahead and use it the way mom and dad wants you to use it? Amen. Use it the way mom and dad wants you to use it. Don't you say things to your girlfriend or boyfriend or friends that you ought not say. Don't you go ahead and get on that. Well, my mom and my dad are stupid. Don't you dare say that. God have mercy. Oh, you say, well, that's not me. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen young people go ahead and say stuff like that about their mom and dad. It comes across. Don't you ever, children, ever say anything like that about your mom. Well, you don't understand. My mom and dad this. Don't you ever. All I can say, don't you ever. They're putting a roof over your head. Most likely the clothes that you have on your back, they've gone ahead and they purchased for you. And don't you go ahead and you backtalk them. You be careful with that cell phone. You be careful. Some of you, you're texting your way into a world that you know you ought not be texting. And you ought to be very careful. And I know mostly it's a young person's thing and so forth. You text me, I have trouble getting that word out. I do. It's just the way it is. You know, it takes me 5 minutes to type a word, amen? You know, now I got the newfangled thing. I mean, it's more like a typewriter, so it's a little easier. But you be very careful. Well, my mom and dad doesn't know what I text. Oh, yeah, and that makes you somebody? I'm super Christian. My mom and dad don't know. My preacher doesn't know. But God does. You're his creation, just like Adam and Eve was. Let me ask you a question. How does God feel about it? I think if there was ever a time that, the Bible doesn't indicate this, but if there was ever a time that a God could have shed some tears, it was the day he showed up. And the creation whom he thought was good didn't show up. Adam and Eve, you're good. You're my creation. Adam, where art thou? Let me ask you a question. Is there some things in your life tonight that is causing God to say to you, where art thou? There's something in the way that's a stumbling block in your life tonight that's causing God to question, where are you? I remember the precious days, the precious times in that prayer closet where it was you and me. But something or someone or something got in the way. I remember the precious times you get on your knees and you say, God, I want to be used. I want you to use me. Oh, God, you go into that prayer closet, you be so sincere. God, use me. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be an example for my children. I want to be the mom and daddy you want me to be. I want to work hard on the job. I want to be honest. I want to do right. But something got in the way. Someone got in the way. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a friendship. And I'm not against friends, but the truth of the matter is, don't let your friends get in the way with your walk with God. Maybe it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Don't let a girlfriend and boyfriend get in the way of your walk with God. You know, there was a time before you met and so forth. You know, it'd be good if you're a dating couple, and I know we have a lot of teenagers here, and you're going to go through the dating scene and so forth. Some of you already are, but you know, it'd be good. Don't let that relationship hinder you from being what God wants you to be and walking with Him. Why don't you allow that relationship to bring you closer to Him? So I challenge you. Why don't you take that young lady, man? You know, we taught this at Bible college. Take that young lady. When you go on a date, why don't you start that date with a word of prayer and end it with a word of prayer? I guarantee you it'll help you to keep your thought process right on the date. You know why? Because you acknowledge God. Because you put God in the center of it. You won't have trouble with the temptations, if you will, of looking and lusting at each other and holding hands and doing things that you ought not do. And before you know it, you can't even control yourself. I wasn't going to use this illustration. It was this morning's illustration. Some of the finest young people I know said, I can handle it. Called to the ministry. Called to preach. Called to many different things or whatever the case may be. But they wandered far away from God along the way. I've had the privilege of working with young people all these many years. I think I need to walk around a little bit because I need to lose a little weight. Amen? All right, don't amen to that, okay? But the red mic, there we go, power, okay? But I've had the privilege of working with young people all through the years and different things like that, and seeing some young people grow and make holy decisions and many going off doing what God wants them to do, marrying well and staying in church and serving God, and others going off to Bible college and called to preach, or preachers' wives and missionaries' wives, whatever the case may be, and today they're serving in a church somewhere, doing some great things for God. In many different cases, then I've also seen the ones I don't like to talk about. The young lady I talked about this morning, and some of you heard it this morning, but I just got to use it. It just happened to come to mind again. But, you know, she had it all. She was from a broken home. She had some things against her, but she had a whole lot of other things for her, like a youth pastor and a pastor and Christian school teachers and a church that wanted to take her the right direction. And she would go to youth conference. She'd be involved. She'd be involved in everything. She would meet me with me every single week, the same day of the time frame, every single week, just to make sure she stayed on track. But it didn't take long. She backslid. I could see it. Started missing church. Started missing some days in school, 12th grade. She was 12th grade at this time. Missing some days in school and different things. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with this because I said it this morning. But you know what? It wasn't long before she was out of everything that she had been taught. Got around the wrong crowd. By the way, she would often talk about what she learned in her, what God showed her from her personal Bible study every single week that she met. Oh, Pastor Weeks, Brother Sean, that my teenagers would call me, Pastor, can I show you a couple things that God showed me from her personal Bible study? She had a walk with God. But something got in the way. Got around the wrong crowd, got pregnant, her boyfriend left. And in a parking lot, a year or two later, saw her there at a mall parking lot. Talked to her for a little while, encouraged her, said, man, you could be restored. God can still use you, and just couldn't get far. Big tears coming down her face as I proceeded to leave, and she says, yells across the parking lot, Brother Sean, tell them teenagers that I know you love. They don't want what I'm going through right now. Raising a little baby girl, I think it was, by herself. Living in just a run-down old apartment. She had a promising future, but something got in the way. Where are you? Doesn't matter who you are tonight, teenager, where are you? Hey there, little children here tonight. You go to Patch a Pirate. You go to your Sunday school classes. You know, things are pretty easy right now. But let me ask you a question. You having trouble obeying mom and daddy? Having trouble going ahead and listening the best you very can. I know it's a little more difficult in a church situation and sitting up and staying awake the whole time, but having trouble listening to the preaching. Having trouble obeying. Let me tell you something. Let me just chat with you youngins just for a minute. Be your pastor for just a minute. You young children who are faithful, and things are pretty easy right now. I encourage you right now, don't let things get in the way of doing right. Don't let things get in the way of you serving God. Don't let things get in the way of you obeying mama and daddy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Hey, you know what? You keep on doing right. Hey, young children here tonight, under the sound of my voice, you obey that mama, that daddy that's sitting beside you. You keep on doing right. You keep on listening to them. You absorb the teaching from a Sunday school teacher. You absorb the preaching of the Word of God. And along the way, as you mature and grow, you find yourself, you could be 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you find yourself in a corner somewhere, on your bed somewhere, reading the precious Word of God. For you can start. If you can read, you can learn it. You can read the Bible if you're able to read tonight. Hey, them 3, 4, and 5 year olds that memorize that scripture, for boy, that ought to bless us. That just blesses me. What is it that's gotten in the way? What is it that the devil's got a hold of you tonight? Is he offering you rebellion? Bible says that's of the sin of witchcraft. That's a devilish attitude. You're wrapped up in some wrong music, some rock music that you know what it promotes. You don't hear in the rock music that Jesus saves. No, all you hear from Eminem, all you hear from all of these rock artists is sex, drugs, partying. You don't hear anything about having a good marriage. You don't hear anything about lifting up high the Word of God. You don't hear anything about getting in the church house and listening to the preacher and getting absorbed in the book. Hey, what is it? What is it? I ask you a question. If you're dabbling in sin tonight, are you really happy? Are you really filled with that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, as the Bible talks about that the Christian can have? Are you really joyous? Are you really full of the joy that God can give? Are you really happy with them drugs? Are you really happy with that alcohol? Are you really happy with missing church? Are you really happy with all of the Hollywood lifestyles? Are you really happy with the pornography and the internet and all that if you're not careful that you can get yourself into? Are you really happy this morning, this evening, whatever time of day it is? Are you happy? Are you happy? But what it does is it takes a holy God who loves you so much to question, where are you? You know what broke that fellowship? Something got in the way. Sin got in the way. What's it going to take to get you back? Turn to Luke. This is another very familiar passage. Luke. I'm going to read several verses here. Luke chapter 16, 15, I think it is. I'm sorry. I'm going to read about the prodigal son, verse number 11. And a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me of the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Let me ask you a question. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Is it going to take you going ahead and living in riotous living and losing your testimony and your reputation and all that goes along with it, losing all the joys and the blessings of being under the Father's roof, if you will, and so forth, and having come to a point of being in the pig pen, if you will, of life, and then coming to yourself? The prodigal son had it all. He had it all. Had a nice home, safe and secure. He had it all, but he wanted to try the world out for himself. He said, I've had enough of the rules. I've had enough of all these regulations. Had enough of the church. Had enough of the preaching. Had enough of the Word of God. I don't want to hear it anymore. God, Father, give me my inheritance. I want to go out and I want to see the world for myself and look at where he wound up. He came to himself. Maybe tonight, perhaps not this particular crowd, but maybe tonight there is somebody. You know what? You may be here and you've got a good facade. And you might have me fooled. You might have your mom and daddy fooled. You might have your spouse fooled. But God, you do not have fooled. And let me tell you something. When your fall is going to be a hard fall. When you get to a point of the pig pen of the world, he had to eat the, you know, I grew up on a farm. We had pigs. You know, what they ate was not exactly what I like to eat when at the farm, around the table in the farmhouse. That pigs ate all the leftovers that we didn't want to eat. Sometimes be 3, 4, 5 days years old, whatever. And they'd go ahead and eat stuff that you wouldn't even think of eating, the corn husks. Famine was so bad that he wound up having to go ahead and work for this pig farmer and try to do whatever he could. He spent all on riotous living. And literally, he had to come to himself, what am I doing here? You know, if you're there tonight and you just started dabbling and you're kind of just starting to get away from God, I'm warning you tonight, before you go any further, why don't you consider coming back? Why don't you consider coming home? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I like the father here and the prodigal son. He never gave up on his son. How often I hear people through who fell into sin. They'll say, preacher, God can't use me. I can't be used. Nobody, you know, just like that young lady. She said, church doesn't want me. Yeah, I said, you could be restored. No. It's too embarrassing and so forth. Okay, yeah, it might be, but you know what? You're going to be loved and we're going to take care of you. I promise you, just come back. We can help you. Let me just stop and say this. You might be in the muck and the mire of sin tonight, but God will never give up on you. I love the return of the prodigal son. I've got a couple other passages to get to, so I don't want to belabor the point, but I can see that daddy each and every day praying for his son. I can see that daddy every day getting up in the morning, and the first thought was getting on his knees and say, oh God, be with my boy. God, be with my boy. Oh God, please protect my boy. Bring him back. I could see that father going out to the end of the drive and looking and all hope gone, and maybe 2 or 3 times a day looking and going home and but each and every day I could see him being consistent looking for his boy. And one day, father's there. His little figure, maybe kind of limping up the driveway, if you will. That my boy. You know, he goes and runs and he kisses him. You know what? God will do the same with you tonight. God, you know, maybe you're here tonight. You're in the muck, in the mire. Why don't you decide tonight, I'm coming home. God will take you back anyway. And you know, let me just stop and say this. Faith Baptist Church will too. Yeah. You know, we ought not ever get to a point, listen to me, we ought not ever get to a point where we're so good. Well, you know what? They used to come, look at what they did. Nope. No. That's not the Christian way. You know, I know you messed up, but come on. We will restore such a one as Galatians says. If brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. That's our duty. God will take you back. But let me just say this, and probably in a crowd like this, you may not be in the muck and the mire, but your relationship with God is indifferent, isn't it? It's not what it used to be. You know it. It's been a while since you've been in your prayer closet. By the way, God never moved. You did. You made some choices. You got into that relationship. You got into this. You got found whatever. The truth of the matter is, whatever it may be, decent or bad, good or bad, got in the way of that sweet fellowship. And if you're there tonight, you just kind of, it's just been, it hasn't been very long, but you're going deeper and deeper. I urge you tonight, before it gets to a point where you have to come to yourself, I urge you tonight, won't you come home? Why don't you just get it right with God and keep on moving forward? What's it going to take? What is it that's going to get you to back to where you were? Turn to Luke. I'll take time with this. Luke. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read a few verses here. The darkest day of Jesus' life right here. Then they took him, verse number 54, and then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him," and he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." About a space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What will it take? Just give a quick illustration here. Peter is one of Jesus' right-hand men. If there was ever a time that Jesus could have used the support of all of his followers, it was that time. Of course, Jesus knew this is going to happen, that Peter was going to deny him. No, I'm not going to, you know. But Peter knew. Jesus knew. And you know, here is a step of backsliding for Peter. When Jesus was taken away, you know, Peter didn't want to claim to be part of Jesus, but he followed him afar off. The Bible also says that he warmed himself by the fire, by the wrong crowd's fire, if you will. The Bible also says three times, we know the story there, three times, you know, you're part of Jesus Christ. You're of Jesus. No, 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 no. Backslidden. Didn't want to be identified with Christ. Maybe like some are tonight. You know, you get at the lunch table and at work, look around. I know I need to pray, but if I pray, someone's going to look. Let them look. If I go ahead and look like, dress right and look right and dress modestly and so forth, the world's going to look. Let them look. They ought to know what a Christian looks like and how they ought to act and talk and dress. You know, but maybe you're here tonight, you're afraid to be identified with Christ. Peter here, I'm afraid. No, I wasn't. I'm not of him. Following afar off, forming himself by the devil's fire. I'm not, no. I'm not identified. No, no, no. You got it all wrong. But what is it that broke Peter? A look from Jesus. Bible says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I think all of a sudden he remembered what Jesus said and perhaps thought of all a host of other things that he did. He remembered. Wow. A look. Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. You know, maybe some of you tonight, God's looking down upon you the same way Jesus looked upon Peter. Well, what is it going to take? I don't want to be part of that. I'm not part of them and so forth. And what's it going to take? The very darkest hour of Jesus' life, Peter couldn't even go ahead and be willing to identify himself with Christ. Christ already knew it. He already predicted what was going to happen. But just think, I could just see the eyes of Jesus looking upon Peter, the disappointment and the look. And I think conviction just rose up all over Peter, and he just could not stand it. But the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. I could hear him crying. I could hear him literally howling, "Oh God, forgive me, forgive me." You know, that's what God thinks about sin. You may be here tonight and you're playing with something, and I don't know what it is. You and God know, and he's poking at you right now saying, "Get it right. No. God, I'll give you all this, but no, not that." No, he wants it all. You're playing with it. Truth of the matter is, he's looking down at you. The Holy Spirit's doing something. But I urge you tonight, won't you get it right? Hey, I'm going to move forward. You know what? There's a person also whom God wants to know. That's the one that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. The last two points are going to be quick. But there's perhaps here tonight a person whom God did know. There was one time sweet fellowship with Christ. Why don't you decide tonight, every day I'm going to fellowship with him. I'm going to make Jesus part of my daily walk every single day. Number two, there is someone here in whom God wants to know. You know, you've heard the preaching. Maybe you sat here and you've heard the preaching. You know what's right, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. And you know in your heart there's something missing. You know in your heart, you know, I hear the preaching. I know the preaching's right. I know the Holy Spirit's doing something. And maybe you're here today. You know, God wants to know you personally. He wants you to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Oh, I urge you today, don't put it off. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tonight. I'm not trying to be scary here, but we're not guaranteed the next hour. We're not guaranteed the next day. We're not guaranteed the next month and the next year. Hey, you know what? It could be that Jesus comes tonight. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? If Jesus all of a sudden now, you know what, was to go ahead and he was so come, Lord Jesus, and come through the clouds and come get his own, would you be with him? I know I would be. Be kind of weird when you think about it. This microphone would just drop and shoo. But what a wonderful day. But let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come tonight? If he did, are you ready to come, for him to come tomorrow? If something was some tragedy happened in your life, maybe cancer or some car accident, you didn't see it coming or whatever, and it took your life. Are you ready to meet him tonight? Hey, you know what, my friend? You can know. You know what? God longs to know who you are. He wants to know you personally. He wants to know you as a Christian. He wants you to be a child of God. He wants you to accept his Son Jesus Christ tonight. And all you have to do is understand you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You got to understand you're a sinner. Understand there's a price on sin. The wages of sin is death. That word death there is paralleled with the word hell, and death and hell, Revelation 20:14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Hey, let me tell you something. If I died in my sin without Jesus, hell would be my eternal destiny, and I know I don't want to go there, and God doesn't want anybody under the sound of my voice to go there tonight. That's why he sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, I'm asking you tonight, if Jesus came back tonight, are you ready? He wants you to be. I love the fact tonight he's in my Father's house, in many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to attain that mansion that he's constructing? Are you ready? If you were by chance to take your last breath tonight, do you know Jesus as Savior? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus wants to know you. Jesus wants to save you. Boy, if you're here tonight, you know he's there. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And lost myself. Is he knocking at your door tonight? Is he knocking tonight? He wants to save you tonight. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus, and he's knocking, why don't you decide tonight, I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise. You have God's word on it. You know, there's those perhaps here tonight, God knew you, had that sweet fellowship like Adam and Eve, but something got in the way. Why don't you restore that tonight? And then maybe there's someone here tonight. God wants to know you. He wants you to know Jesus as personal Savior. He wants you to become a child of God. And then lastly, and I'm through, then there's a person in here tonight. God knows you every day. You say, "Preacher, every day. Same time, same station, maybe morning, noon, night, I don't know, but every day you meet with God. You have that sweet fellowship. God shows you blessing after blessing from the Word of God. You're continuing to grow in your personal Bible study, and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing, and you're able to withstand the evil day. You're able to withstand the devil because you're soaking yourself, you're absorbing yourself with a walk with God. I ask you, or I say tonight, boy, if you're like that and you're someone who God knows daily, don't give up. Don't give it up. Make sure you make that time every single day. Be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. You keep on walking with him. You keep on talking with him. You keep on allowing him to teach you things and fellowship along with him. You keep on doing what is right. Where are you in relation to God tonight? Very simple story. Adam and Eve. God comes to the garden. In the cool of the day, "Adam, where art thou?" He says, "I was hiding. I was hiding." Ask your question now. Are you hiding on God? You can try. It can't happen, but are you attempting to? There's some things in your life that you know is out of whack, teenager, mom, dad, little child, church member, deacon, Sunday school teacher, whoever, preacher. There's something in your life that you know that's getting you out of line. You're out of alignment with God, if you will. Causing God to ask, "Where art thou?" If there was ever any tears, the Bible doesn't say if there was or not. But this could warrant tears as far as I'm concerned from the face of God, because he so loves you. He so longs to be with you. He longs for you to schedule that time and just be with him. Yesterday, as I do most Saturdays as of late, beautiful day. I have a place that I like to go Saturday afternoon. I generally make a few more calls, and then I go to this place. It's quiet, serene. And I went out there. I'll be personal second, but I just went out there, and beautiful, gorgeous day. Boy, that's what gave me spring fever. Boy, I'm really, I just simply went to God, just started talking to him a little bit. Just like I would talk to you across from your table. I said, "God, I'm here. I don't really want anything. I've got everything I need. I got my truck. Amen. Ford at that. Got my family, got the health of my family. Got the shoes that I'm wearing. I was comfortable. I had a pair of jeans on. I got my suits. Got my wardrobe. I was pretty lucky yesterday. I actually had a few dollars in my pocket." I said, "God, I'm really not here to I don't really need anything. I just want your power. I'm praying about today and so forth. I want your power, but I just want to come out and just talk to you. Just let you know I love you and thank you. And you know, I get thinking, God must really, I hope he does. I'm not a big prayer warrior. I'm not very eloquent, and he knows that. But I hope God's pleased. I hope that I hope he enjoys my time. I think he does. And as I left, thinking about the direction I may go tonight, I said another word as I was in my truck leaving. I said, God, I don't ever want to get to a point or a place where you wonder where I am. But by the grace of God, that'll happen. I don't want to get to a point, but to a place that I come to a few different places that I like to go pray and things. I don't ever want to get to a point in a place that you scratch your head, so to speak, and say, Sean, where art thou? Tonight I ask you that question. Where are you? Are you one, you're a Christian, you're saved, are you one that God used to know really intimately? Are you one that God desires, well, he so desires to know you. You're not saved, you don't know Jesus as Savior, but I encourage you, why don't you just step out and let someone, shake my hand after a little while, let someone show you from the precious word of God how you can be saved. And if you're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm in category number 3, praise the Lord. I'm one that God knows daily. You stick with it. You stick with it. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you impressed upon my heart. Very simple truth, God. I know, very practical. Maybe in many cases a reminder. But I know that there's so many devices out there that the devil throws at us to try to get us out of whack with you. Get us distracted. Not necessarily all bad things, but we just kind of lose our time and our fellowship with you. And I pray, dear God, that before it gets to a point where it could really hurt our reputation, before it really hurts us, maybe even destroy us, that we go ahead and nip this, whatever it is, in the bud and get that sweet fellowship back going. Maybe there's someone here tonight, they don't know you as Savior. I pray tonight, today would be the day of salvation. I pray they'd step out and shake my hand and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I'm not going to worry about what people think. I want to be saved. I want to be a child of God. And maybe there's here, you know, and if that for that one or two or many that has that daily walk, I pray you just encourage them. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here.
All of your help around here, all of you. I mean, in so many ways, you do things, you sing, you in the choir, you serve, you clean, you do whatever. And God's certainly going to bless you for that. Well, amen. Amen. Had a good day today. 5 saved this morning. That was awesome. Praise the Lord for that. And just a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll be back here again Wednesday night. And Brother Blaine, would you come up and close in prayer? One of our fine deacons here will come up and close in prayer for us.
Pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for the message we heard tonight, Lord. And I pray you help us to keep the door open to you, Lord, and just to grow with you every day. And those people that are here, Lord, that are a little lax, Lord, I pray you give them the strength to grow in you more, Lord. And anybody that's not saved, Lord, it's not too late before they leave, Lord, grab somebody and find out how to get to meet you as their personal Savior, Lord. And I pray you just give us strength, Lord. Get us home safely tonight. Bring us back safely Wednesday. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.